gentlemen, good morning. It is marvelous, magnificent, magical Monday. Welcome to the call. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from Southeast Idaho. This is the Think and Grow Rich call. It is another great, wonderful, miraculous day to be alive. I'm so excited that I recognize that on this brand new day to a brand new week, and I'm grateful that we have so many entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs on the line this morning who are recognizing that truth with me as we get this week started. Want to start real quick by posing a question. What would you do if you had no fear? What would you accomplish if you were not scared in certain aspects of your life? As a matter of fact, what would you do if not only you didn't have fear, not only were you not scared, what would you do if you had a faith that just drove you consistently on a daily basis, and you had self-confidence that was through the roof, and you knew that nothing could stop you as long as you understood and applied certain laws, and you knew that you could set whatever goal that you wanted to attain in life, and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that goal was yours. You simply needed to move forward, take action, and apply a few basic principles. Well, folks, that's the goal of being on this call. That is why I'm here every morning. That is why it would be wise for you to make the commitment to be here every morning, because the sole purpose of this call is to help myself and each of you on the line develop that state of mind, that unstoppable, unshakable, undeterrable mindset that will allow you to achieve whatever goal you set for yourself. And today is particularly relevant as we're jumping into chapter 15, which is entitled How to Outwit the Six Ghosts of Fear. Okay, so pay close attention. We're going to jump through the content portion of the call, and then we're going to open up, as we do every day, to Mastermind, where we will hear from you and other amazing people on the line who have understood and applied some of these principles, and maybe some of you who are just learning them and are, you know, have some questions and trying to understand things on a little bit deeper level. That's what the Mastermind portion of the call is for. So I do look forward to that. But for now, let us jump into the content. Chapter 15, How to Outwit the Six Ghosts of Fear. Take inventory of yourself as you read this closing chapter and find out how many of the ghosts are standing in your way before you can put any portion of this philosophy into successful use. Your mind must be prepared to receive it. The preparation is not difficult. It begins with study, analysis, and understanding of three enemies which you shall have to clear out. These are indecision, doubt, and fear. The sixth sense will never function while these three negatives or any of them remain in your mind. The members of this unholy trio are closely related. Where one is found, the other two are close at hand. Indecision is the seedling of fear. Remember this as you read. Indecision crystallizes into doubt. The two blend and become fear. The blending process is often slow. This is one reason why the three enemies are so dangerous. They germinate and grow without their presence being observed. The remainder of this chapter describes an end which must be attained before the philosophy as a whole can be put into practical use. It also analyzes a condition which has, but lately, reduced huge numbers of people to poverty, and it states a truth which must be understood by all who accumulate riches, whether measured in terms of money or a state of mind of far greater value than money. The purpose of this chapter is to turn the spotlight of attention upon the cause and the cure of the six basic fears. Before we can master an enemy, we must know its name, its habits, and its place of abode. As you read, analyze yourself carefully and determine which, if any, of the six common fears have attached themselves to you. Do not be deceived by the habits of these subtle enemies. Sometimes they remain hidden in the subconscious mind, where they are difficult to locate and still more difficult to eliminate. The six basic fears. There are six basic fears with some combination of which every human suffers at one time or another. Most people are fortunate if they do not suffer from the entire six. Named in the order of their most common appearance, they are the fear of poverty, the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, the fear of loss of love of someone, the fear of old age, the fear of death. All other fears are of minor importance. They can be grouped under these six headings. The prevalence of these fears as a curse to the world runs in cycles. For almost 6 years, while the Depression was on, we floundered in the cycle of fear of poverty. During the World War, we were in the cycle of fear of death. Just following the war, we were in the cycle of fear of ill health, as evidenced by the epidemic of disease which spread itself all over the world. Fears are nothing more than states of mind. One state of mind is subject to control and direction. Physicians, as everyone knows, are less subject to attack by disease than ordinary laymen, for the reason that physicians do not fear disease. Physicians, without fear or hesitation, have been known to physically contact hundreds of people daily who were suffering from such contagious diseases as smallpox without becoming infected. Their immunity against the disease consisted largely, if not solely, in their absolute lack of fear. Man can create nothing which he does not first conceive in the form of an impulse of thought. Following this statement comes another of still greater importance, namely, man's thought impulses begin immediately to translate themselves into their physical equivalent, whether those thoughts are voluntary or involuntary. Thought impulses which are picked up through the ether by mere chance, thoughts which have been released by other minds, may determine one's financial, business, professional, or social destiny just as surely as do the thought impulses which one creates by intent and design. We are here laying the foundation for the presentation of a fact of great importance to the person who does not understand why some people appear to be lucky, while others of equal or greater ability, training, experience, and brain capacity seem destined to ride with misfortune. This fact may be explained by the statement that every human being has the ability to completely control his own mind, and with this control, obviously, every person may open his mind to the thought impulses which are being released by other brains, or close the doors tightly and admit only thought impulses of his own choice. Nature has endowed man with absolute control over but one thing, and that is thought. This fact, coupled with the additional fact that everything which man creates begins in the form of a thought, leads one very near to the principle by which fear may be mastered. If it is true that all thought has a tendency to clothe itself in its physical equivalent, and this is true beyond any reasonable room for doubt, it is equally true that thought impulses of fear and poverty cannot be translated into terms of courage and financial gain. The people of America began to think of poverty following the Wall Street crash of 29. Slowly but surely, that mass thought was crystallized into its physical equivalent, which was known as a depression. This had to happen. It is in conformity with the laws of nature. And the first fear, head of the list, the fear of poverty. There can be no compromise between poverty and riches. The two roads that lead to poverty and riches travel in opposite directions. If you want riches, you must refuse to accept any circumstance that leads toward poverty. The word riches here is used in its broadest sense, meaning financial, spiritual, mental, and material estates. The starting point of the path that leads to riches is desire. In chapter 1, you received full instructions for the proper use of desire. In this chapter on fear, you have complete instructions for preparing your mind to make practical use of desire. Here, then, is the place to give yourself a challenge which will definitely determine how much of this philosophy you have absorbed. Here is the point at which you can turn profit and foretell accurately what the future holds in store for you. If, after reading this chapter, you are willing to accept poverty, you may as well make up your mind to receive poverty. This is one decision you cannot avoid. If you demand riches, determine what form and how much will be required to satisfy you. You know the road that leads to riches. You have been given a roadmap which, if followed, will keep you on that road. If you neglect to make the start or stop before you arrive, no one will be to blame but you. This responsibility is yours. No alibi will save you from accepting the responsibility if you now fail or refuse to demand riches of life, because the acceptance calls for but one thing, incidentally, the only thing you can control, and that is a state of mind. A state of mind is something that one assumes. It cannot be purchased. It must be created. Fear of poverty is a state of mind, nothing else. But it is sufficient to destroy one's chances of achievement in any undertaking, a truth which became painfully evident during the Depression. This fear paralyzes the faculty of reason, destroys the faculty of imagination, kills off self-reliance, undermines enthusiasm, discourages initiative, leads to uncertainty of purpose, encourages procrastination, wipes out enthusiasm, and makes self-control an impossibility. It takes the charm from one's personality, destroys the possibility of accurate thinking, diverts concentration of effort, it masters persistence, turns the willpower into nothingness, destroys ambition, beclouds the memory, and invites failure in every conceivable form. It kills love and assassinates the finer emotions of the heart, discourages friendship and invites disaster in 100 forms, leads to sleeplessness, misery, and unhappiness, and all this despite the obvious truth that we live in a world of overabundance of everything the heart could desire, with nothing standing between us and our desires, excepting a lack of a definite purpose. The fear of poverty is, without doubt, the most destructive of the six basic fears. It has been placed at the head of the list because it is the most difficult to master. Considerable courage is required to state the truth about the origin of this fear, and still greater courage to accept the truth after it has been stated. The fear of poverty grew out of man's inherited tendency to prey upon his fellow man economically. Nearly all animals lower than man are motivated by instinct, but their capacity to think is limited. Therefore, they prey upon one another physically. Man, with his superior sense of intuition, with the capacity to think and to reason, does not eat his fellow man bodily. He gets more satisfaction out of eating him financially. Man is so avaricious that every conceivable law has been passed to safeguard him from his fellow men. Of all the ages of the world of which we know anything, the age in which we live seems to be one that is outstanding because of man's money madness. A man is considered less than the dust of the earth unless he can display a fat bank account. But if he has money, never mind how he acquired it, he is a king or a big shot. He is above the law. He rules in politics. He dominates in business. And the whole world about him bows in respect when he passes. Nothing brings man so much suffering and humility as poverty. Only those who have experienced poverty understand the full meaning of this. It is no wonder that man fears poverty. Through a long line of inherited experiences, man has learned for sure that some men cannot be trusted where matters of money and earthly possessions are concerned. This is a rather stinging indictment, the worst part of it being that it is true. The majority of marriages are motivated by the wealth possessed by one or both of the contracting parties. It is no wonder, therefore, that the divorce courts are busy. So eager is man to possess wealth that he will acquire it in whatever manner he can, through legal methods if possible, through other methods if necessary or expedient. Self-analysis may disclose weaknesses which one does not like to acknowledge. This form of examination is essential to all who demand of life more than mediocrity and poverty. Remember, as you check yourself point by point, that you are both the court and the jury, the prosecuting attorney and the attorney for the defense, and that you are the plaintiff and the defendant also, and that you are on trial. Face the facts squarely. Ask yourself definite questions and demand direct replies. When the examination is over, you will know more about yourself. If you do not feel that you can be an impartial judge in this self-examination, call upon someone who knows you well to serve as judge while you cross-examine yourself. You are after the truth. Do not stop until you get it. Get it no matter what cost, at what cost, though it may temporarily embarrass you. The majority of people, if asked what they fear most, would reply, "I fear nothing." The reply would be inaccurate because few people realize that they are bound, handicapped, whipped spiritually and physically through some form of fear. So subtle and deeply seated is the emotion of fear that one may go through life burdened with it, never recognizing its presence. Only a courageous analysis will disclose the presence of this universal enemy. When you begin such analysis, search deeply into your character. Here is a list of symptoms for which you should look. Symptoms of the fear of poverty. Indifference, commonly expressed through lack of ambition, willingness to tolerate poverty, acceptance of whatever compensation life may offer without protest, mental and physical laziness, lack of initiative, imagination, enthusiasm, and self-control. Indecision, the habit of permitting others to do one's thinking, staying on the fence. Doubt, generally expressed through alibis and excuses designed to cover up, explain away, or apologize for one's failures, sometimes expressed in the form of envy of those who are successful or by criticizing them. Worry, usually expressed by finding fault with others, a tendency to spend beyond one's income, neglect of personal appearance, scowling and frowning, intemperance in the use of alcoholic drink, sometimes through the use of narcotics, nervousness, lack of poise, self-confidence, self-consciousness, and lack of self-reliance. Overcaution, the habit of looking for the negative side of every circumstance, thinking and talking of possible failure instead of concentrating on the means of succeeding, knowing all the roads to disaster but never searching for the plans to avoid failure, waiting for the right time to begin putting ideas and plans into action until the waiting becomes a permanent habit, remembering those who have failed and forgetting those who have succeeded, seeing the hole in the donut but overlooking the donut, pessimism, leading to indigestion, poor elimination, auto-intoxication, bad breath, and bad disposition. Procrastination, the habit of putting off until tomorrow that which should have been done last year, spending enough time and creating alibis and excuses to have done the job. This symptom is closely related to overcaution, doubt, and worry. Refusal to accept responsibility when it can be avoided. Willingness to compromise rather than put up a stiff fight. Compromising with difficulties instead of harnessing and using them as stepping stones to advancement. Bargaining with life for a penny instead of demanding prosperity, opulence, riches, contentment, and happiness. Planning what to do if and when overtaken by failure, instead of burning all bridges and making retreat impossible. Weakness of, and often total lack of, self-confidence, definiteness of purpose, self-control, initiative, enthusiasm, ambition, thrift, and sound reasoning ability. Expecting poverty instead of demanding riches. Association with those who accept poverty instead of seeking the company of those who demand and receive riches. And I think we should stop there. The first fear, as we've just learned, is the fear of poverty. And, you know, I think at one point or another, all of us suffer from this. And one of the main problems with the fear of poverty is fear in any form keeps us from moving forward. It prevents us from making the decisions we need to make. It prevents us from taking the action we need to take in order to have that which we want to have come into our lives. So fear of poverty, it's important to look at our characters. It's important to determine whether or not we have this fear. And also, obviously, it's important to learn how to overcome this fear. And we're going to learn, obviously, as we continue this discussion of the six fears over the next few days. Napoleon's going to share with us how do we overcome them and how do we eliminate them. But one of the key things I think we can recognize is the title of this chapter is The Ghosts of Fear. And that's a huge realization. It's a huge aha moment for me as I think about that. And that is just that fear is absolutely a ghost. It's a state of mind. It's something that exists in our mind that is not real. It's real because we allow it to be real. But the second that we want to eliminate that, the second that we realize that it is an apparition, we can banish those fears from our lives and we can absolutely move forward in a position of power. So, anxious to hear the discussion, let me unmute the lines here. All right, quite a lot to talk about here. Star 6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear from you today.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul, Bill Hartranft here. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing absolutely amazing, amazingly. I love this talk about fear, and I have to say that when you're going through it, What you have to do is you have to get back to basics and realize, wait a minute, I'm still alive. I'm still eating. Money is a utility. Money only creates some stress-free problems to a certain point. But stress is something you allow yourself through fear. And I believe that trust and faith, true faith, will allow you to alleviate the problems of stress and fear. I'm a perfect example of that. I feared my own health hazards, my own health problems. And I was constantly going to doctors and constantly checking with them. And, you know, I have a AAA, which is an aortic aneurysm, but it's not growing. It's not getting, out of control. And the doctor said, just live your life. And yes, just live your life. So I decided to start just living my life and carrying on with normal activities. And before I knew it, things started to change. And I kept heading in a proper direction. I started doing some of the things that people were suggesting. I started looking into things. And before I knew it, I needed to lose some excessive weight. So I'd lost 37 pounds as of today. And I'm riding 30 miles a week on a bicycle, which I hadn't done for 15 years. And I put fear away. I said to myself, faith and trust, knowing that I'm still alive, I'm still here, I'm eating, I'm healthy in mind, I'm healthy in where I want to go, I know what I want, but I can still be happy regardless of whether I have a lot of money now or a lot of money later. My new motto is simple. The money will come. It's the life that we have to live today. It's what we have here in the present. And how, when we wake up in the morning, we have to ask ourselves, how can I make my day a terrific day? Figure out what your passion is and live it. Paul, all yours, my friend.
Bill, great to hear your voice on the line, my friend. And I did get your message over the weekend, and I could sense a passion and a positiveness and a tone that was amazing. And I appreciate you for coming on and being here this morning and sharing those thoughts. And congrats to you for conquering those fears, my friend. Really appreciate that.
It's Star my six. Honor, Paul. It's my
Bill
honor.
Wentz here.
Hey, Bill. Good morning, sir.
Hey, I just want to say amen to what you just said. It was so good to hear Bill back on and hear his great words of wisdom. And I haven't really heard him lately, and I just wonder what happened to him. But I'm just so glad to hear him back. And Bill, welcome back. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate that.
Star, thank you, Bill. Star six, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Hi, this is Fred in New Jersey. To the gentleman that just spoke first, the gentleman that lost 37 pounds, what was his name again?
Bill Hartraff.
Hey, Bill, kudos to you. I'm kind of on a journey like that myself in different ways, and basically you could fall into either category. You can embrace the life, and yeah, you're still standing, that's correct, and you can move, you know, more, as Les Brown always says, his birthday is March 4th, man, or you can, like, go in reverse, but you can't stay stagnant. It's just about moving towards that fear, crushing that fear is just about moving towards the light in a matter of speaking. It may not all happen in one day. Sure, everybody wants to, you know, max out the $100,000, you know, in 124, both sides. Everybody wants that. There's no question. But, you know, what if you were doing, you know, whatever, $100 a month, and if you're just moving in whatever direction it is in your life, whether it's weight loss, you're just moving towards the light, and you're in motion, your life can't help but change for the better. But it can go both ways too, and I've been on both ends of that, and I underwent some personal journey in the last, and I'm on your team. I work with Todd, and I'm moving towards the light, and it's just when that light starts to shine through a little heavier, man, every day, like a good sun, like a good like light cracking over sunrise, it really gets bright sometimes, and it's a really good feeling.
Well, trust me when I say that Paul and Doc Fran and Melvin Shaw certainly understand that I'm talking about the good things right here, but the difficulties that I went through to get to that point, absolutely were very difficult, very hard. But every morning I woke up, I plowed all the bad things to the side of the road, so to speak, and I kept moving forward, and I kept thinking, okay, if I can't do this, what can I do here? And if I can't do that, what can I do there? And I just kept moving in that direction, and I just said, you know, just go out and do it. And I just took on things that were hard. I made them easy. And I should be on a bike ride this morning, but we're not meeting till tomorrow morning. So normally I'm not available Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays for this call, but today it's a special day, so I'm here. But believe me, the difficulties are large, and when you're in it, it feels like it's never ending. But you have that hope. You have that hope because you keep on heading towards things that are positive. The more positive things you put into your head, constant positive things, whatever it is, positive food, positive life, positive vitamins, positive listening, positive thinking, grow rich, it eventually will get to you. I have to give kudos, though, to Paul Hutchings because Paul made a very special CD for me quite some time ago. And on my own and in my own free time, without even being on this call, I've been listening to that and listening to it sometimes 3 and 4 times a day, listening to it with my girlfriend, and she thinks it's absolutely beautiful. And by listening to it, it puts my mind, my whole perspective on life in a whole different stratosphere, if you will, and allows me to think, okay, that's what I need to be heading for today. That's what I need to be going after. Even while I'm still in the quagmire of the disappointment and upset and concerns and fear is really the capital word of all those other lines, and you just keep heading in the proper direction, I've got news for you. It's just amazing. I've gotten into a vegan diet. I'm not eating anything that has a face on it. I'm not hungry. It's amazing. I'm drinking carrot juice. It's wonderful for me. And Barley Max and just feeling amazing. I've lost 37 pounds since March 5th. And by the way, Les Calvin Brown is one of my favorite mentors, my friend up north, North New Jersey or wherever you're calling from. But I just wanted to say that. Paul, thank you.
Great comments, and again, once again, Bill, congratulations. So great to hear the excellent progress you're making in your life, and one of the things that you mentioned as you were just talking is really important to reiterate to everyone on the call, and that is one of the ways that we can eliminate fear in our lives is by replacing it with faith, and Napoleon teaches us that one of the ways we build a state of mind known as faith is through positive auto-suggestion. And he mentioned that CD. I just re-recorded my own again last night with the affirmations and the beliefs and the goals that I'm working on in my life. And by you know, Doc Francis, we get more of what we focus on. And so as we fill our minds with that which we want versus that which we are afraid of, and we do it consistently, it can't help but come into our lives. But the thing about it is it does take work, and it takes diligence, and it takes persistence in continuing on with that. So Star 6, would love to hear from more callers. Please come on and share with us your thoughts. Star 6, come on out. Don't be shy.
Hey, Paul. Bill.
Yes. Hey, Bill.
I'm going to be on all the calls, the Q&A and the training there later at 3 p.m. my time, I think it is.
Awesome.
And hopefully we can maybe do a conference call with my new prospect somewhere in between all that.
Absolutely. Would love to.
But I get a real charge out of all these things. Sometimes I'm so pumped I don't know what to say, so... It's all good.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Appreciate those comments. One affirmation that I got from Napoleon Hill later on in this chapter that specifically combats the fear of poverty is, I am getting along with whatever amount of wealth I'm able to accumulate without worry. That's one affirmation that we can repeat on a daily basis that will absolutely directly combat that fear of poverty. Star 6, who's next?
Paul?
Yes.
This is Lindy.
Hi, Lindy. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to throw out there that each one of us that are on this call have made an assessment to a certain degree that we needed to do something different, to have something different in our life. And all of the negative aspects that can come to us, there's a positive aspect that can replace that. But the key is to do that honest assessment of ourselves and to recognize there is room for improvement in some area of our life, because until we recognize that there is something we need to do differently or think differently, then we won't take action until we say, yes, I need to do something about this. So that, I just wanted to throw that out there, because that is, and that's what I love about this call and the people on this call, because everybody here is on a path of self-improvement, and that's the first step, is admitting we need improvement. So anyway, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back on the call on Monday. I miss you guys over the weekend.
Lindy, thank you so much. Great, really amazing comments there, and so true. One of the things that I think would be good for all of us to do, if we're not already doing it, is consciously watch out for the beliefs that we want to have versus the beliefs that we, you know, want to eliminate. And consciously, when we hear something that we want to develop within our own state of mind, have that list of affirmations and write it down, and do on a daily basis, go through those, you know, starting with the major definite purpose, the self-confidence formula, and then the list of affirmations. But then the other thing that Lindy said, which is so important, is actually doing something different in your life to have what you want to have come into your life. And one of the key ways to do that is, as Napoleon Hill teaches, have a plan, have a written game plan, have that target number at the top of the sheet of paper and an actual plan. And when you listen to a training, when you come on a call like this, or you're on a webinar where you're learning something new which might benefit your plan, grab that piece of information, write it down in your plan if it's something that you want to implement, and that's one of the ways that we can close what I heard. An excellent marketer one time say one of the reasons people fail to make money is because they have a hard time closing the knowing doing gap. What a lot of times we do is we get on the phone, we listen to trainings, we get on webinars, we listen to trainings, we go to meetings, we listen to trainings, but we don't take and we nod our heads and we say, yeah, that's great information, that's fantastic, love it, want more, but we don't take that information and close. We put it in the knowledge, but we don't put it in the doing. And so one of the ways that we can close that knowing doing gap, as Lindy has just shared with us, is have a written game plan where you know that on a daily basis, this is what I'm doing. And whenever you're listening to a training and you hear something that's good, take that and put it into your plan so that you can be sure that you close that knowing doing gap. Star 6, who's next?
Well, good morning, guys. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc Fran.
I am delighted. Well done, Mr. Hartranft, and your has begun, and it's begun quite well and productively for you. So I'm delighted to hear that. This, you know, it's no mistake why Napoleon put this chapter at the end of the book, and why it's a fairly meaty chapter, because this is exactly what stops all of us from being, doing, and having everything that we all can be, do, and have. And so if you spend a lot of time in this book, this would probably be a great chapter to spend a lot of time with. And the thing that I love is how he starts right out in the beginning of the chapter talking about what is an indication that you have a fear-based limiting belief going on. And that indication is indecision, where you can't you don't make a decision. And as Mel Shaw often says, the lack of a decision is your decision. And that's true. So, but indecision is the seedling of fear. So when you feel yourself caught up in indecision, a very great way to overcome that is to run down the six basic fears that we put in this chapter and make a determination. You have the answer within you. And that's the thing that's really incredible and probably the point that I want to make this morning. All of the answers that all of us seek are within us. We can get guidance at times from sources outside of us, but ultimately we accept or reject that guidance based on what our inner knowingness is, that decision or that piece of guidance is the right one for you. And so keep those facts in mind as you look. Learn to analyze. Rather than being paralyzed by indecision, this is a time to analyze. And it's very specific. It's very easy to do. Go to your chapter. Look at the six fears. Speak them out loud to yourself. And the one that indicates to you will be the area where you need to focus your introspection. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Doc. Always appreciate that fabulous insight. Thank you for being here and contributing daily. So do appreciate you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, it's Mike Nelson.
Mike Nelson, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, it's good to hear Bill again. And I wanted to just kind of expound a little bit on what I'd found verse or a psalm today. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Like Doc was just saying, you ask for help outside yourself, but you are the one that's going to come up with the answer. You have all the answers within you. It's just fighting your fears, getting over the fear of rejection, the fear of whatever fear you're having at the time. And my favorite verse is, God helps those who help themselves. You might think that you need someone's help, but if, like Doc said, the answers are within you. So get over the fear, and he'll help you there too. That's all I had. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate those thoughts. You know, I don't know how many times I've made the commitment to myself to become an active and practicing meditator, and for some reason I have had a real hard time doing that on a daily basis. But last night I again made the decision that I'm going to do 30 minutes a day for the next 14 days, and it was about 9:30 last night. I shut off the lights in my office. I locked the door. I sat down in the middle of the floor, and I meditated for 30 minutes, and it was truly amazing the clarity that came and some direction that came, as I felt that I did receive some answers and direction on how I want to move forward here in the next few months. So I do what Doc and Mike just shared, my own personal little experience there. It's true. The answers are within us. Appreciate those.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
I heard what you read originally, getting started, starting the day off, and that is so, it can be read over and over again. This chapter and that portion is so heavy. And I heard Bill on here, and I had a chance to talk to Bill, and believe me, it was almost not quite like night and day, but the progress that I could pick up that had been made there, and the things that had been dealt with. We were on the phone for quite a little while. I was so impressed with all that was coming out of Bill. It was just fantastic, and I can see where this program and this call in the mornings – is just being so helpful to so many people. And self-control truly is the key. The more you work on gaining that self-control through meditating, like you said, or getting on calls like this and reading these kinds of books, the more you can master that self-control. The more you learn to go within, because, yes, all the answers are within you. And the more you'll overcome that fear and get yourself set free, it's just a whole new world. And no matter how much we talk about the amount of money that you can make and the riches of financially, the riches of gaining the self-control, the riches of becoming your own person, the riches of learning how to go within and get those answers, that is the biggest treasure there is. No money can touch that. And so I just encourage everyone to stay on that path, to stay on this call, to keep up that work, not give up, and it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to them. And with that, it's back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. I love you, my friend, and so grateful that you're on this call and contributing every day. Thank you so much.
Paul?
Yes.
It's Bill here. I have a question for Doc Fran. Doc Fran, that line, all of the answers that we seek are in us, is that from a certain author or book that you've read?
It probably is, Bill. It also comes from the Bible, and it comes from virtually all of the writers in this arena. It's because of the reality we are immortal spiritual beings, and we have all of the knowledge that is intrinsic, essential truth within us in our divine nature.
And don't you agree that in order to get to that point, we need to change our programming?
Well, there's no question. I mean, the programming that we have put on ourselves is the result of agreements that we've made at multiple points in our life, beginning at a time when we are basically pure subconscious, as children, as infants, as young children. We get imprinted with ideas or comments that individuals make to us, and we're largely unaware. And so as we mature and become adults, we then have the ability to have the choice to evaluate those beliefs, those agreements. A terrible thing that happens to us as children is we get labeled. We get labeled by our doctors. We get labeled by our teachers. We get labeled by our adult contacts. And we internalize those labels as truth. And when you do that, that becomes your belief. And we've trained continually that what you believe is what you manifest. Because all of us are continually manifesting a relentless progression of events that verify and prove to us the correctness of our beliefs, because we always want to be right. And it's fascinating. And whether our belief is a non-serving belief, or whether our belief is a tremendously valuable serving belief, makes no difference, because our manifestations are going to make us right.
Hey, Doc.
Well done on looking at particularly that aspect. I was very happy when I heard you mention that you have chosen to look outside of the limitations that your doctors have put on you all of your life, the plethora of what you previously viewed as insurmountable genetic or physical problems. And it's only the agreement.
So hey, Doc. Doc?
Go ahead.
You are so, that is so on the button. That is so profound. And the points that you're covering there are so key. If if people only knew how they've been branded that way, and the work we have to do, it's not so much sometimes what we have to learn, but what we have to unlearn, all the garbage and junk and stuff that's been placed upon us. All that nonsense has to come off that we've bought into. And the way you just explained it is just so well put. I mean, if all of us can take heed to this, it's like I say, it's a new world. Back to you, Doc.
Well, that's very kind, Mel. I appreciate it.
Thank you also, Doc, for answering my question and answering it so thoroughly, because it brought back many memories of programming that I went through as a teenager. And you know, you have to tell yourself, wait a minute, I'm a great person. I mean, I love doing a lot of things to help other people, and all of us do. And the more you put that in your head, and the more you do auto-suggestion, and the more you follow line by line the Think and Grow Rich Bible, you will grow. It's just automatic. I owe most of my success, first off, to this call on Paul Hutchings and Doc Fran and Melvin Shaw. I owe the rest of it to myself. And thank you, Doc Fran, because you're right. I had to reach out beyond the quagmire, beyond the constant programming of the difficulties that I faced across my life, and reach beyond it. And it's like breaking out of a balloon. It's incredible. It popped, and it's like, wow, I'm free. It was pretty incredible. But it was difficult going through it. But it was guys like you, Paul Hutchings, Melvin Shaw, Mike Nelson, and many others that said, you know, you need to do this, plain and simple. And I did it, and here I am, and now I'm learning, and it's awesome. It's awesome. Thank you.
Hey, can I say to that too, Bill, that the majority of the credit goes to that person when you look in the mirror. That's where the majority of the credit goes to. You know, I hear people oftentimes say, you know, thank God, thank God, thank God. God has always done God's part. That has never been no lack there. It's your part that needs to be done that makes the difference. I need to do my part. And as far as thanking God is concerned, God really doesn't need our thanks. God doesn't need anything from us. God has everything God can ever need or want. It's what we're doing for ourselves to show appreciation for what we've been given. And so to the degree that you take care of this blessing that you have, this thing called life, do you show your thanks? And I like
agree.
The idea of you calling, I kind of like the idea of you calling Think and Grow Rich the Bible, because I tell you, I have found that Think and Grow Rich has done more for people that I can say helping them than I've seen the Bible do in terms of the confusion. And I almost have to shake my head at how many people don't understand reading that book. They're more confused than anything else. Where I like Think and Grow Rich because it's very directive, very to the point. There's no complication or confusion there. And with that, back to you, Paul.
Thanks, gentlemen. And I must say that some great thoughts have been shared there. I like what Melvin said about how God has always done God's part. I do believe that is true. We have so much here to be thankful for. And I do think it is important to us to maintain an attitude of gratitude. You know, according to the science of getting rich, you know, Napoleon Hill, many, many, many things we've learned, it is important to be grateful. And I also think that we should uphold and sustain all that which is good and does, you know, all that which does help people. Think and Grow Rich falls into that category. The Bible falls into that category. My life has gained tremendous benefit from things that I have learned within the Bible. So just wanted to throw those out, and appreciate you all for those great comments. And ask any other caller, star 6, would love to hear from you.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Paul. Oh. Good morning, everyone on the call. This is Neville. How are you all today?
Excellent, Neville. Good morning. Great to hear your voice.
This is great, 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 you know. Couple things there that you just mentioned, Melvin and Doc Fran. Let me go back to something Doc Fran said. And he said he didn't recall where he got certain information. It could have been from the Bible. But there's something I remember in the beginning of the Bible where it said, God created us in his own image. Most time we look at image as a picture, or we look at image as a statue. But when God does something, he does it internally and everything. So we don't know exactly, we don't know what God looks like. But if we're in his own image, then we have been given the things that God has. So we have been given eternal life. We have also been given knowledge and all the information that we need, like you said, to do certain things. So for that reason, I adore the Bible because, you know, since I've grown up over the years and I've read it more than I've done any other book, per se, a lot of information that I have and that is buried within me is from the Bible. And there's something in the Bible that tells you, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. This thing applies to fear. If we acknowledge and accept fear, it becomes part of us, control our lives, and brings inertia, and we do not function at the level that we are at our God-given level, then, let's say. If we resist the fear, move to the positive side, and look for the good or look for the gold in whatever is there, in whatever situation you come to, look for the good, look for the gold. Do not dwell on the negative, because negative begets negative. But if you dwell on positive things, positive will beget positive. Think of good things to happen. See the beautiful things. The Bible also tells you, when you get anxious, think of these things. Think of hope. Think of love. Think of happiness. It tells you, think of what you really want to happen. See it in your mind. It also goes further when it says to you that when you want something and you ask for it, believe it and that you have it and you shall have it. And sometimes we said, fake it till you make it. That's what we do in network marketing most of the time. We said, I'm a millionaire, and you talk a millionaire and you do what you need to do. And eventually, as you keep on sticking it in there, many times you struggle because sometimes the company that you think you're going to make it in, that company goes under or you don't go along well with that company and you suffer losses. But if we keep on working, and matter of fact, I'm outside right now in my garden and my wife planted some sweet potatoes last year. And I didn't see any sweet potatoes, but I'm going to transfer them to a different boxes for irrigation and things like that. And because we planted them, watered them, nurtured them, I'm digging them out to transplant them, and guess what we're finding? Sweet potatoes. So sometimes we're too quick to start worrying and not following through, but we got to persist and persist. Like the man said, persist until the end, because success is just one step more around the corner. Back to you, Paul.
Neville, love your comments. Look for the good. Look for the gold. I love that. Thank you, Neville. Appreciate that. And I think Doc was trying to jump out there. If you're not speaking, please press star 6. We're getting a little feedback, some breathing into the line, so star 6. And Doc, was that you jumping out there with Neville here?
No, I was just thoroughly loving Neville.
It was Rick Martin. Good morning. It was Rick Martin.
Oh, Rick, go ahead. Apologize.
Good morning. Good morning, my friends. Good morning. Hey, listen. That's wonderful, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Martin. He loves people, and he is a deep thinker. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah. I want to throw something here for you guys to mull over. And Neville said something there about eternal life. And I just wanted you to think about things that we've heard and we've heard through physics and science, and this is what I wanted to say. I think we come to the belief that energy and matter pretty much is never destroyed. And when you mention eternal life, we also fall into that category, that if you believe that energy or matter is never destroyed, then you also is never destroyed. It gets transferred, right? So eternal life goes to us as well. You see, you don't really hear that, but the truth is, and if you believe the latter, then you're going to understand that you live forever. It's fascinating to think about, but it's something that you can think about, and it's going to get you to start thinking of a lot of things lately about who you are, yourself, and what you are as a being. And so it's an incredible thought. And the other thing you want to really think about is this. You have to give yourself a certain amount of patience when it comes to using your subconscious mind. You know, remember, the older you are, obviously, and the programming that's been rooted in your system for a very long time, it's going to take some time to buff that out, okay? But you can speed that up by getting more involved. Develop your belief by being around more positive people that are for you, people that are going places where you want to be. Attach yourself to that. You have to immerse yourself. You have to develop the veracity. Says, you know what? I deserve. I see other people. They're no better than me. They're no different than me. They were doing things that I wasn't doing. In fact, they were doing things that I wasn't doing. That's why I'm not where they are, where I want to be. In fact, I wanted to be somewhere else. That's why I'm getting the result I'm getting. You're always getting a result. So all you got to do is do something different. If I use the word change, people really don't really like the word change. So that's planted in your mind, says change. So when I say, why don't you start doing something a little different? Make some modifications. So if you start telling your friend yourself, make modifications, just from simple words, everything else changes. And there goes that word again. But modification, modify your behavior to suit your outcome. You're going to get it. You're going to get something new that you want. It's just the way it is. There's always going to be a result. You're always getting a result. You're getting a result now. You're getting a result before. So you're doing something, eventually your outcome is going to be what you want. And you just keep on going on, persistent. You keep on going on. And it's going to be yours. I mean, the moment you decide is you want something and you believe you can achieve it, it's yours. You just take the steps. You take the roads. You go through the process. You're not going to get there without going through the process. If it falls in your lap somehow by accident, it doesn't belong to you. And it disappears. We've seen it over and over every time. But that's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. And I think about that a bit, and some difference is going to happen. Something that you're interested in is going to come about. And it will happen. You just got to believe that. If you don't believe, you cannot succeed at what you're really, really looking for or you would like to have. But you're succeeding at something. Never forget that you are succeeding every single day. You have to believe that you are succeeding. Everyone is succeeding at something. Just do something different to succeed at and do what it takes. You have to plant a seed before you can harvest. Don't expect a harvest without planting that seed. And that's the process. Thank you. Right back to you, Paul.
Excellent points there, Rick Martin. Thank you, as always. Anyone else have a final comment here before we close out?
Paul, yes. This is Marty from Chicago.
Hey, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Doc Frank. Good morning to my upline, Todd Young. Hope everybody's doing fantastic on the call. I just have one comment. Since I just recently got my book, I was wondering if you were going to start a whole new chapter of books again, Todd, from the beginning. But my comment is on the fear of poverty. Okay, I don't think it's much. I mean, as much as the fear of poverty as the fear of success. Like myself, a lot of people have come into the business that never really achieved the successful level that they wanted. All we do is listen to our naysayers for criticism and dream stealers. You know, just have to put them out of your mind, go do it. And I guess my upline, and they're telling me I'm doing fantastic because I'm not in the business long, and I still feel like I'm 6 months behind. But I'm just following the system. I will get there. But I think if you put other people's, you put their needs before yours, okay? And they can see that you're genuine about that. I actually had a gentleman I talked to wanted to sign up on the 15th, and he took his girlfriend in the hospital. I said, you know what, Jim, don't worry about it. Take care of what you got to do when you come back. You're not going to get rich in 2 weeks. We'll get you in the gold rush, take care of your girlfriend. So I was showing him I was putting my needs or his needs before mine. Okay? And he said, Mark, fantastic, because I told him I believe one thing. Family comes first no matter what you're doing. You can replace everything else. But, you know, the thing I'm just trying to reiterate to him, you know, a lot of people, they've never been successful. They get into something and they're promised the world, like a lot of LLMs, like I've been into. Come on in, you'll make a lot of money. Never made nothing. But here, it's a steady system. And, you know, you just do what you're told and follow the system. Eventually, you'll lose that fear of poverty and you'll lose that fear of success and you'll gain success. You know, I just wanted to make a comment on everything that you guys do for us. Appreciate it. But I believe it's more of a fear of success because a lot of people have never been there. And what that relates to is because it's a fear of success, they're afraid to pick up the 600-pound gorilla, and now they're in a poverty situation again. It's like a catch-22. It's a round circle. They don't know how to get out of it. So you do need key people above you teaching you, keeping you on the righteous road. And basically, it was my comment. I just wanted to come out. I don't know if anybody else is feeling that way as well.
Marty, I appreciate those comments, and what you've just shared could really be a whole call in and of itself, and we'll probably get into that a little bit more over the next few days as we continue on with the six basic fears. But let me say, great to hear you on the line, my friend. You are doing extremely well, and you're being coachable and taking action and seeing amazing results. So it's just an absolute pleasure to hear your voice on the line this morning.
Thank you for that, Paul.
Yes, absolutely. We are at time here, folks, so let's go ahead and end the call. I want to thank everyone for being on the line. Let us be people who are committed to having faith, taking action on a plan that we have written down, moving forward with persistence, being people who are achieving accomplishments and wealth, and 110% to living lives of contribution where we lead by our own example, we become beacons of light, that we shine on those around us, and provide an excellent example for others to follow. And in doing so, we become a tremendous blessing to many, many, many people who we may know now and who we probably have not even yet to meet, folks. I am so excited that you're on that journey with me. Let's get out there today and take advantage of the time we have this day to make that happen. And let's be back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Love you both. Love you all, I should say. Have a great day. Bye-bye.